I just like to read one verse in Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. There could hardly be a more solemn verse as believers for us to consider than the one we have just read together. He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. It has often been said, and very truly so, that there's a price to be paid for following Christ. Anyone who has in any measure sought to follow the Lord has found it costly. But what is not so often said, and is nonetheless equally true, that there's a price to be paid for not following the Lord. And this, I believe, is what is referred to in the verse that we have just read. He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. Many years ago, a Christian brother from Motherwell, now gone to be with the Lord, told me a story that I've always remembered. It was in the days when television was in its infancy. A certain Christian brother was, I know not who he was tempted to get a television. And he yielded to that temptation. But on going round to the shop to collect the television, written upon the box in which the television was contained were these words: "Bringing the world to you." And it spoke deep down in his heart. He saw what that television was going to do to him. It was going to bring the world into his home, into his heart, into his family, if he had one. And grace was given to that dear man of God to refuse the television. Now, I've no doubt for him it meant spiritual prosperity. But let us, for a moment, consider: had the reverse taken place, well, he would have had his request, but leanness in his soul. Now, I'm not making an attack on the television. I'm very sorry to say, in my own home, the television. I'm in a mixed home. Oh, I would praise the Lord if I never saw it again. When we ask ourselves of whom this verse was spoken, of whom it was written, It was written of a people whom God had in matchless grace brought out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He had seen their distress. And when he appeared to Moses at the backside of the desert, he said that he knew their sorrows. And he was come down to deliver them. Oh, what a wonderful way our Lord Jesus Christ came down to deliver us. By that terrible death of the cross, by the agonies and sorrows he suffered there, he delivered us. And he sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh with this message, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." We know the story well, how Pharaoh would not let God's people go, how over and over again we really hardened his heart, even though God's judgments fell and the whole of the land of Egypt was made to tremble under them. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then God said one more plague, and Pharaoh would let them go. Then we get the Passover. How God was going to pass through the land of Egypt that night. And he told them to take a lamb, to slay it, to put its blood upon the lintel and the doorpost, and to shelter from the destroying angel that was passed through the land of Egypt. We sung it in a hymn at the prayer meeting one morning, "Of all the gifts I love bestows, thou giver of all good, not heaven itself a richer knows than the Redeemer's blood." Dear friend, that precious blood has sheltered from the judgment that was so richly deserved. And the children of Israel were sheltered that night. Well, every house, every firstborn in the land of Egypt, the destroying angel entered and slew. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. I wonder if we're all sheltered by the precious blood of Jesus. I wonder if there's even one unsaved here tonight. Oh, we say with all the earnestness of our soul, if you're not saved, to flee to the shelter of the precious blood of Christ. Well, they went out of the land of Egypt, and there they stood trembling at the Red Sea as Pharaoh and his hosts followed after them. The Red Sea before them, what was the word then? "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And they went on dry shod through the Red Sea, and the water that were death and judgment to the Egyptians were a wall of salvation to them on the right hand and the left hand. Then we get the song of victory, as they sang there, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider had he thrown into the sea." Do you remember, dear friend, when you sung the song of triumph, when you were first saved? Oh, what a wonderful day it was when we were saved and we started to sing the song of victory. Well, he brought them out, but the song of victory had hardly died on their lips when we read about the murmuring. Oh, let us beware of murmuring, dear brethren. Let us beware of that. Then we read of their journey through the wilderness, only brought out the evil of their heart, until we come to the book of Numbers. And there we read how They wept before the Lord, saying, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" We remember the garlics, the leeks, and the onions as we sat in the land of Egypt. Dear friends, those same people that had been saved by God's matchless grace, here we see them longing after the flesh pots of Egypt. Oh, how light it is like we have to see these sins in our own heart. But the point I want to bring out was, we read in the psalm, "He gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul." As sure as we long after the world, it may be that we'll be granted it. But what will be the result? Leanness in our souls. Oh, what a loss, dear friend, for the paltry, sinful pleasure of this world, to lose the smile of God's approval and to have leanness in our soul. You know, the little hymn, we all know it. Tell me the same old story. When you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Oh, is it costing us too dear? Are we paying the most terrible price for a measure of conformity to this world? May God in grace revive our hearts with love for Christ. May our hearts be set on fire with love for him again. It may be that someone here might say, "This is all very negative ministry. What we want is positive ministry." Well, there's much of what's been considered in the seven churches that we might say was of a negative nature. There was a call to repentance over and over again. And my dear friends, we must not rebel against this. But I would like to finish on a positive note. Could we just turn for one moment to the first book of Chronicles, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 9. "And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." The children of Israel lusted after the flesh pots of Egypt. They longed after them, and God granted it to them. Here the man Jabez, not longing after the world, but longing after the Lord. It says his mother bare him with sorrow, and how often God has used sorrow to draw a soul to himself. And here we see the intensity of his prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that it may not grieve me. And we read these words, and God granted him that which he requested. The children of Israel longed after the world, Egypt, and God granted him it. Here is this man longing after the Lord. But like the psalmist, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Jabez was longing after the Lord. And we read these lovely words, and God granted him that which he requested. Whoever longs after the Lord, it will assuredly be granted. We sometimes hear Christians, particularly those who maybe go to mission halls and to evangelical denominations, they will sometimes, when talking about a bright Christian, they will talk about him being on fire for the Lord. I think it's a very scriptural expression. The scripture I would give would be, John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. And if you're a burning and a shining light, it's because you're on fire. Oh, that our hearts were set on fire for the Lord. There's a beautiful hymn of Charles Wesley. It's not in our hymn book. I'd like to quote it. Oh, thou that camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Oh, that God would kindle a flame of sacred love in each one of our hearts. Oh, have to confess how much we've left our first love. Oh, may he revive us. Oh, Lord, revive thy work. May our hearts be touched with that love that led him to bleed and die on the cross. Do we remember when we first saw a sight of the cross? Oh, the world was dung and dust then. Perhaps many of us here, myself included, feel we're not the Christian we were when we're a young convert. Oh, that God would kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of our heart. We're all familiar with the well-known hymn of Isaac Watts, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Lord of Glory died." I've been informed that Isaac Watts wrote that beautiful hymn not when he was an old man with life nearly all, but when he was a young man with life in front of him. He says he counted everything but dross. It's another point that interested me much. I often like to read hymns. It may interest you to know that in that hymn of Isaac Watts, there's 5 verses, not 4. Although we all rightly have the 4 we have. But there's a 5th verse, and this is what Isaac Watts says in that 5th verse. His dying crimson, like a robe, spread o'er his body on the tree, then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to thee. Oh, dear friends, I feel ashamed to talk here when I think of how cold my heart is to the Lord Jesus who loved us and died for us. May he revive our hearts. May we be drawn closer to him. May he revive us again, that we may rejoice in him. For his name's sake. Amen.